This is the Angry GM, and this is the Mostly Monthly Live Chat for the month of March in the year of 2025. No, it's still 2026, and apparently it is still the month of Czechuary. But I think I've explained that joke before at least a couple of times, so I will not be explaining it again, especially because Czechuary, the concept of a Czech, the phrase sniglet, and the television show, not necessarily the news, and the concept of television show are all outdated now. So none of it will make any sense to any of you zygotes who are all watching Black Mirror and whatever on your streaming pads. Hello, everybody. Segue into topics that, okay, so seriously, this one's going to be kind of a mess. And I say that with all of them. As always, if you are listening live and at any time you want to get my attention, so that I will eventually answer a question or respond to a comment, in the chat, put a red exclamation mark or a red question mark at the beginning of your question or comment so that I can easily see it when I scroll back looking for it. Hello, October. You missed the hellos when I gave out hellos earlier. So I gave out a bunch of hellos off screen or off mic, off outside of recording, whatever it is. So the first thing that I want to address is in my last Mostly Monthly Live Chat, I was rather honest in that I had been going through a particularly difficult downturn in my whole depression cycle, which I was, and which really got bad from there. And now it's not so bad. Things have actually turned a very significant corner, but I'm not going to waste too much time talking about that because I don't want to talk about that. But in that, I was really feeling like my work had become sort of meaningless and I had lost touch with everyone and I wasn't even sure why I was bothering anymore. And I kind of put out this sad little appeal for, like, if you care about my work, just let me know, because it would make me feel good to hear about that. And I probably shouldn't have even said that, but I did because I was feeling down. And I figured I'd get a few responses and then I would just send back nice, polite, like, oh, thank you. You know, that means the whole world and stuff. I did not expect to get inundated and overwhelmed by the responses, especially the sheer heartfelt oversharing that happened in some of the more private responses to the point, and actually some of the public ones got very heartfelt. And apparently I have had a very tremendous impact on a lot of people beyond their gaming table, which should not happen, by the way, because as we have talked about, I don't do life advice. So if you are taking anything about how to live your life from me, stop. Don't do that. It's only about pretend elves. The fact is, at this point, I cannot thank everyone. And like individually, I would have to spend a week, which was frankly stunning. So I just want to say, everybody who took the time to reach out, big, small, or in between, and every one of you who had the balls and or ovaries, right? Our ovaries were, balls and or ovaries, to share your own personal struggles a bit, you dragged me up out of a really dark place. I cannot overstate the impact that that has had. And I am just, it's gonads, it's not gametes. Thanks for breaking the moment, Kate. Because now I have to correct gonads. It's gonads, it's not gametes. Gametes are the cells, gonads are the actual organs, okay? Anyway. What do they teach you kids in schools these days? So that's it. That's all I'm going to say. And the only other thing I'm going to say is the way I'm going to thank you is by doing what you want from me, which is just put out damn content, make that game, do all that shit. That's what we are asking for. And so fine. That's it. That's going to be my thank you. And actually, last week, I had a major victory, and I don't want to jinx it, but I had a major victory because I published the first article of March on the first Wednesday in March. And I'm going to get to why this is important, but that was a major coup, and I am on track to publish the second article in March. I'm hoping Wednesday. It's either going to be Wednesday or Thursday. Today got thrown off because, I fell a little behind today because I had to reschedule a doctor's appointment because my car died, but whatever. Doesn't matter. Point is, I'm working on stabilizing. I really, 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 really want to talk about big plans. That's what I really want to do. I have big plans. I have big plans that I've already started to implement. I have big plans that I actually started implementing like two weeks ago. But I have had big plans before, and I have made promises about turnarounds before, and it's been not great. And so we're not going to talk about any of that. We're not going to make big promises or big plans. March is the month of just quietly putting shit in order. It's just going to be, it's the month of quietly delivering. So all I'm going to say right now is four articles. You already got one. And then we're going to be doing stupid narration tricks where I'm going to teach you. I'm actually going to give you drills this week on how to be a better extemporaneous speaker. Though I know many of you listening to this horse shit right now are thinking, what right do you have, angry, to teach me how to be a better extemporaneous speaker? But nonetheless, I am going to give you drills and practices that you can do to be a more extemporaneously good, a more gooder extemporally, yeah, to talks the words better, because it is a learnable skill. Okay. Yeah, no. These are actual drills. Last time I just gave you homework. Last time I told you just read more. Because the thing is, the tricks that I want to teach you and the real narration stuff is stuff that you need to actually be better at extemporaneously speaking to pull off. For example, never mind, you're going to have to wait for the articles. That's another thing we're going to stop doing. I'm going to stop giving away the goods on the first date, especially with a whole, you know, in front of a whole group. We're not going to do that anymore. So I'm going to teach you how to be a better extemporaneous speaker. We're going to be doing the Let's Build a Dungeon thing. I think the haggling, bargaining thing can happen this month, but that might have to wait because I have set three ambitious things to do, because the extemporaneous speaking thing, even though the article is going to be short, I need to record extra audio because I have decided that I'm going to teach you by doing the drills myself, which is going to be awful, which should restore your confidence that you can be good at it, because I'm going to be awful at it. But anyway, and the Let's Build a Dungeon thing is hefty. So the bargaining and haggling might end up in April, and I might end up doing an Ask Angry in March. So that's it. But four articles going to come out in the 4 weeks. Try and nail Wednesday as the day, but if it's Thursday or whatever, I'm still going to call it a victory at this point. I have bonus content for Frenemies in the works. It is in layout right now. It is in graphic design. And this is a tool that will help Frenemy tier supporters and anyone who wants to pay a couple of bucks for it, even if they're not Frenemy tier supporters, help you run better wilderness encounters the way I described in my recent rant about the wilderness, where I talked about how you start far away and you get different information and stuff. I actually developed a really neat tabletop tool. And also I'm doing a version for it of it that you can import into a virtual tabletop and drop tokens on to track things that way, which is just basically taking part of the tool and making a graphic out of it. The problem is layout and design is being a little bitchy because it's not normally what I'm kind of a game designer and a writer. Well, I'm a writer who claims to also be a game designer despite evidence to the contrary. And the layout and design shit is just being a little bit of a bitch right now. So it's coming. It's coming soon. I really wanted it out on Wednesday, maybe Friday. It'll be when it is, but it's happening. Slapdash, there is also stuff happening on that front. And I will throw this out there just because some followers may not have gotten the message yet. I don't want to talk too much about Slapdash here because I would like to have an excuse for a Slap Chat. But I am going to say this. Last week, I sat down because there have been a number of issues with the Club Slapdash website, which some of you don't even know exists. But people were having trouble registering, resetting their passwords, and what have you. And I sat down and took like 8 hours and troubleshooted the whole thing and got it all working. So if you have had trouble registering on Club Slapdash or resetting your password, or you have not been getting emails or anything like that, go ahead and now get access to it, because you may be very surprised by stuff suddenly appearing there periodically over the next few weeks. And we'll talk more about, though I will say this, okay, because I do know some people have asked what the hell even is Slapdash. And I think I talked about this last month, but I'm going to say it again. I am working on a tabletop role-playing game engine, which for reasons I'm not going to bother explaining anymore, is Slapdash. One of the promises that I have made is that I will rope all frenemy tier supporters into design blogging about it and showing them what's going on as I build it, which it has been delayed, but it is moving forward now. And on top of that, when it is done, the frenemy tier supporters will get the core rules, electronic version of the core rules, free to them. And also, when it is ready for that first beta test where I give it out to a bunch of GMs to run it for their tables and then report back, that's frenemy tier supporters. Plus, when I need alpha testers and design testers and iterative design testers, that's where I will draw those people to from. I cannot make a public RSS. Norman is asking, will there be an RSS feed for the Slapdash blog? No. I cannot make a public RSS feed because it is all password locked. It is something that is only for frenemy tier supporters until the game is ready for the world. And thus, I cannot give out an RSS feed for it. Okay, but if you pay attention on Discord, on Subscribestar, on Patreon, in all of those places, whenever an update happens on the Slapdash blog, I post about it. Also, there is a Club Slapdash channel in the Angry Discord where we have conversations and where I just give little glimpses. Right now, all the information that I've been giving out has been through Club Slapdash, where I've just been taking pictures of the shit that I've been working on. I am switching back to the format of blogging about it. And actually, that coincides with the fact that I've been doing a lot of work and that sometime in the next 45 days, I need to be doing a proof of concept alpha test of the redesigned combat engine. But again, this shit's all for a Slap Chat. And that I don't want to go into the Slapdash stuff too much with the whole community, because not everybody is interested or involved in that. That's what Slap Chats are for, and Club Slapdash and all of that. But I do want to let you know, if you have been having trouble as a frenemy accessing Club Slapdash, or you have let it lapse, go check it out, because stuff is going to start appearing soon. There's going to be one random one-off that's going to show up in the next 6 to 8 days. And then after that, we're going to switch gears and it's going to be a little bit different, but also a little bit more regular. Just, and again, not big promises, because the one thing is I'm not going to rush Slapdash, but because I want it to be good. Also, the name Slapdash should not be taken to mean that it is crap. Slapdash has evolved since it got that name. Anyway, so that's it. That's the Slapdash thing. I do want to address a question that Norman asked at the start of this, which also is why I'm wearing a shirt and tie tonight, sort of, and some other things. But a question was raised about why I am doing my most, I'm basically, I have decided to do the mostly monthly live chats, and apparently most of my live chat content on Discord, I have suggested that I will be doing almost all of it on Monday nights for the foreseeable future. And I was asked, why have I chosen that? Because number one, obviously there's always, you know, people have availability issues. And those availability issues are further complicated by the fact that about 33% of my audience lives outside the United States, which is actually, I learned back when I did the Game Angry Kickstarter, is a lot bigger than many American content creators who normally see percentages about 20-25% outside the United States. And apparently, I play well internationally. I don't know why, because I make it clear constantly I hate international. You know, like, I make fun of every country that is not the United States. I piss and moan about everybody's measuring systems except the correct system, because we use freedom units. And I will not get anybody's nationality correctly, and I make fun of any name that is difficult for me to pronounce. So, yeah, I don't get it, but apparently. Anyway, so here is the deal. This plays into why also I'm so committed to getting back to publishing every Wednesday. The thing is, as a content creator online, the single most important thing you can do to retain an audience is to show up at the same time every week. Okay. And I have seen exactly what happens when you don't do this over the last 2 years, because I have just stopped being a part of many people's lives. People just don't check my site anymore. People drop off support and all of that stuff because I became very, very unreliable. And every content creator knows it. You show up. Same time, same day, every week, every whatever it is, regularity is how you survive, because you become a part of people's habits. Everybody, like, if everybody knows that on Wednesday there is always a new angry early access article to read, then you don't need to wait for a Discord notification or an email address. And if the email system goes, then it doesn't matter, because everybody knows that, oh, it's Wednesday, there's a new article on Angry. Great. Or it's Tuesday, there's a new general access article on Angry. Or it's Thursday, there's a new Slap Chat or Slap Dash. There's a new Slap Blog, whatever. Okay, this regularity thing is super important. And it was the stupidest thing for me to let go. But we're not talking about that. It was the worst season of my life. These things happen. Okay. Now, the live chat thing is not so much of a big deal on that front, because the live chats have always been kind of extra content. Primarily, I write blogs, I read them out loud, and I am designing a game. That's my primary things, and the live chats are more of a, just a side bonus thing. Doesn't quite matter so much, but it also does a bit, because people do try to schedule around them. If it was one night, then I could look ahead and say, okay, this is the night or day or whatever it'll be, you know? The problem is that my ultimate goal is right now to have 3 live chats a month, because I am looking at doing one mostly monthly live chat, one Slap chat, and then one focused live stream with video every month where I deep dive into a specific topic in a little more structured way. This is that mystery night thing that I keep setting up, and next month or the next one is going to be how to do skill challenges in a better way. Though mystery night may become 2 things, because there's an investigation, like how to run an investigation encounter and why you can't do it well. That's also a thing that but anyway, I would like to do that. And now as soon as I'm looking at 3 live events instead of 1, this is no longer a, I need to find one night a month to do the thing. This is a, I'm doing it almost every week, because I also don't want to stack up content multiple times in 1 week. You burn out your audience that way. So I need to just pick a night that is, oh, this is always when Angry does the thing. Picking a night is, the other reason I need to do that is because I do need to schedule my own life. And so if I always know that Monday is live chat or Wednesday is live chat night, except for the one night that it isn't, because we're only talking about 3 a month, so there's going to be 1 off. But if I always know that that night is the night, then I never schedule anything for it. It's a blocked off night, and then there's no cancellations, there's no conflicts, there's no anything else. It becomes a priority for me. So it ensures these things are more likely to happen without emergencies or errors or issues cropping up. And it lets me also know what nights I have free to, you know, do something other than this bullshit. So there is a reason for picking a night or a day or a time or whatever. There is a strong benefit to having the one time that is, this is the night of the week that is online presence time. The problem arises is that as soon as I do that, people are going to get left out. But again, no matter what, people are going to be left out. There is nothing I can do to avoid that problem. So that is why I put out a poll like a month ago on the news channel to be like, what is the night that is most open to most people? And then as far as like why I don't do it at random times, do it during the day and stuff, is because I do, for my own writing process and my own work process, I try to have a normal human work day. I try to show up at my desk at 7:30. That's when work starts. And the 7:30 to 11:30 morning time slot is when I write fastest and best. That is pure writing time. That is not time for me to do anything else. And then the afternoon time, if I'm going to be doing bonus content and I'm going to be designing a game and all of that other stuff, well, then there has to be a time block in there for that, and that's afternoon time. So all of a sudden now, like, the night, the evenings or the weekends become it. But I also have other responsibilities in my life. I am running a regular game, which just moved from Saturday nights to Thursday nights because I was doing training for a ministry position at church that was Thursday nights and this and that and the other. So now all of a sudden, like, my nights have all pinballed around. And I just had to pick a night. And it wasn't meant to leave anybody out. It wasn't meant to screw anybody. But it's going to work out that way unless I try to do things at random. And trying to do things at random just increases the odds of cancellation and lowers the engagement, you know? So that's kind of where I'm at. I am not firm. This is not up in stone. Oh, wait, it doesn't have to be Mondays. In fact, tonight was an experiment because every second and fourth Monday of the month, I am expected down at my church for a ministry meeting now, which kind of screwed up my Monday plan a little bit. And tonight's experiment was to see if I could get from there to here, because my church is 45 minutes away, because God works in mysterious and sometimes stupid ways. Forgive me. So getting here from there, like tonight was a race to see if I could do it. And it turns out, actually, I did it in plenty of time because I got home with plenty of time to give Biscuit her lint rolling and give Biscuit her treat and make a cup of coffee and still be online with time because I had the foresight to set up all the microphone and all the other equipment mostly and get all the files set up and everything on my computer so that I could just come in here, plant my butt in my chair and start yammering away more or less. So Monday night kind of worked. Am I open to moving it around? Could I do it a different night every month? Maybe. I don't know. And if you have an opinion on this, and if there's a night that works better for you or whatever, and this is to everybody, this is not to Norman, this is to everybody, including Norman, leave a comment. Drop a comment. When I put this recording up, put a comment in it. Okay, that's the best way for me to see what you have to say about anything in this recording is, you know, dropping a comment when I post the recording. Okay. As far as everything else goes, the reason why I do encourage people to send me questions and comments and things in the channel where I'm going to host the chat is precisely so that if you can't participate live, you can still get your questions answered and your comments read out loud because you're going to get the recording and you're not going to miss out on much because I, you know, like with the live chats, I don't do much of the pre-show, post-show shit. The people who hang out and do the live proofread alouds during the day, they know all about the pre-show, post-show shit. But you know, the pre-show, post-show for the live chats, the pre-show is 15 minutes of dicking around and the post-show is not because I got to go to bed. And I've also gotten a lot smarter of as soon as the post-show gets interesting, actually recording it. And one of the reasons why I have been so open to just randomly once in a while in the middle of the day opening a live, an extra live chat after a proofread aloud recording for anybody who happens to be there is precisely because I know for some people, the middle of the day is the only time they can participate in this shit so that then they get to participate in it. And I will try to throw more events around too. I would like to, like, I need to settle my schedule and that's going to take the month of March. And then I'll know what I have to work with, and then maybe other things can change. And I'm not married to Monday nights, but the nights are kind of getting chewed up here. So, you know, and people want me to video game stream too. But strangely enough, that poll, it seems to be there's enough people for Sunday nights that I would not be opposed to just having like a Sunday fun night kind of a thing where I'm just streaming a video game for an hour or two on a Sunday evening. That seemed to be a thing and that's nicely relaxing. And honestly, I will tell you this, I love doing the live chats and I love doing this stuff, especially if people give me things to interact with. If you're feeding me in the chat, then you can keep these things going for an hour, 2 hours, 7 hours, whatever. The people who show up for the live proofread alouds in the middle of the day, they know that because they have turned me doing a half hour recording into what if I also did a 90 minute live chat in response to one stupid question about spiders or whatever. So, you know, if you give me an excuse and sit still long enough, you can usually get me to open the microphone. It's partly because live chats are way easier to do and they let me explore topics that aren't enough for an article or aren't complete enough for an article because I'm the sort of person who really likes to think through things by talking out loud. That's very important. That's how I work through a problem. If somebody asks me for advice, even with, like when I have an ask angry that vexes me a little bit, the first thing I do is I talk it through in my morning shower. Like you can sit outside the door of my bathroom. Don't, because I didn't invite you in, but you can sit outside the door of my bathroom and you can listen to me having a conversation with my Ask Angry email in my head out loud. This is also, by the way, how the proofread aloud thing got started, because reading out loud my articles is just a thing I always did. It was my final proof partly to make sure that I hadn't missed any errors and that Grammarly hadn't missed any errors. I don't know if I ever talked about how much work goes into one of the angry articles. That might be interesting, but I don't know if anybody would be interested, maybe other than me. But I don't think people realize that by the time you read those words, they have been rewritten at least twice. Well, okay, they have been written at least twice, possibly multiple times. They have been run through an electronic grammar checker, and then I have read them aloud. And that was even before I was doing the proofread alouds. So I do a draft pass, I do a revision pass, and in my revision, I literally rewrite every word of the article. And then that's usually when I used to do two revision passes, but then I got good at doing both passes in one, because the first revision pass was a content revision where I would cut out crap that was unnecessary, clarify points, clean up the voice so that it was more active voice, not passive voice, because I have a problem with passive voice and I still do, believe it or not. And then the next revision pass was the punch it up, where I would, number one, insert more of my voice or adjust the voice accordingly. But then the other thing I would do is, if I recognized seeds of something like a running joke, then in the punch it up pass, that's where I would go through and then like refine the joke and make it a thread that carries through the whole article and call back a joke that had happened earlier and yada, yada, yada. And it's funny because sometimes I make jokes about how I don't know how something is going to turn out, or that, oh, I promise this will be a short one. But I don't know for sure. I'm going to try and make it short and I don't know. And the thing is, that crap has been rewritten multiple times. I have decided to leave in those lies well past the point where I know it's a lie. So anyway, all of that aside, that's just the process for writing, but I've gotten good at doing the content and the content and the punch it up pass at once. And then I Grammarly, then a proofread aloud. And now actually my process is going to eventually start including two read alouds, a private proofread aloud where I correct errors so that the other proofread aloud no longer has that much proofreading in it. And it's just an entertaining read through that I flub. So anyway, that's that. Enough of this shit though. None of you want to hear any of this crap. What do you want to hear about? Do you want to hear gaming stuff? Do you have fun questions? Does anybody want to know what like anything? Give me some stuff to chew on for like a half hour. Let's do a Q&A. I don't care if you have to ask like random bullshit questions. If you want to ask me what I ate for lunch today, I don't care. Or ask me about gaming. Ask me anything. I did see two questions up above, and I'm going to, okay. So, Kate, because I'm no longer indulging you, because now you're just doing it for attention, the whole name thing, because the font keeps changing and everything gets impossible. So now you're just Kate. I'm sorry. What is your personal favorite way to cook an egg? This is interesting because I was actually thinking about this just this morning. Because my absolute favorite way to cook an egg is just to scramble the damn things, honestly. That's always been, but no, that's not true. My absolute favorite, if we're talking about just cooking an egg, yes, then it's just to scramble the damn thing. But really, I have a tradition that Saturday morning is omelet day. And that is my favorite thing to do with an egg. And so every week as part of my meal plan, when I was actually keeping to a meal plan, in which I have to start doing again because I had blood work done today and I got the results back. And apparently my liver broke. So that'll make the conversation with the doc next week interesting about my liver being broke. But anyway, it's fine. It's all fine. Don't worry about it. I'm fine. Anyway. So my thing was always on Saturday mornings. Saturday mornings were omelet day. Sunday mornings were pancake day. This was something that I got started after I got my diagnosis with type 2 diabetes 15 years ago because the rest of the week was sad gray-brown oatmeal day. Now, I make oatmeal fun as you can make sad gray-brown oatmeal, gray-brown oatmeal, you know, but it's still like you can add the yogurt to it, you can add the berries to it and all that other stuff, but it's still basically going to look like a shooter from 2005 to 2015, which is basically gray-brown loads of bloom. So to compensate for that, Saturdays were omelet days and Sundays were pancake days. And I would make it a point in my weekly meal plan to decide what omelet I was going to make. And, you know, usually it was based on whatever ingredients I would have left over from dinners. Like, oh, like this week it's going to be zucchini and tomato with goat cheese because that's, I have that going into meals this week. So it's going to be a zucchini and tomato omelet with goat cheese. But anyway, but here's the thing. Through my whole life, I hated any kind of egg preparation that involved goopy yolks. Like I hated it. I don't like goopy yolks. I don't like food touching. This morning, because I had to go get fasting blood work, and then I decided to treat myself afterwards. I actually stopped at my favorite little diner and let myself have a treat breakfast this morning, even though it's supposed to be an oatmeal day, because that's what you get when you go to the doctor, is you get a special treat. And as I'm sitting there, mushing up my over-easy eggs, dipping my sourdough toast into the goopy yolk, and then scrambling my potatoes into the goopy yolk, I suddenly realized that at some point in the last couple of years, I have become completely okay with foods mixing together to the point where yolk goop is actually the tastiest way to enjoy toast and potatoes. So now my favorite way to cook an egg is actually to fry it, because I have gotten very good at just making a fried egg that is just darkened and brown and crispy on the edges without the yolk gelatinizing and solid on the top, right? Because the problem with the fried egg is to get the whites to solidify without overcooking the yolk and get the bottom to have the color and texture. And at some point in the last year, with all of the other terrible crap that was going on in my life, there was a bright spot, and that is that I mastered how to make a fried egg. And now, fried egg slid right off onto a couple of pieces of delicious toast. That is my favorite way to cook an egg, and that is my egg story. Now, aren't you glad you asked that? Okay, Norman wants to know, how would you recommend I start figure out what is and isn't working for my players? Asking directly results in a content-free, affect-free, everything's fine. No shit. You might remember that I say repeatedly, asking your players for feedback is 90% useless. You know why? Because 50% of the time, you will get the players simply saying everything is fine because they're having a good time. And the other 50% of the time, you will get the players offering you an explanation that 80% of that 50% of the time, which is how we get to the 90% of the time I said where it's useless. So 80% of the 50% of the time where they give you an answer, their explanation is wrong because they don't understand what they're thinking. Okay, because players are good at knowing what they like, they're bad at knowing why they like it, and they're terrible at guessing what they would like instead, but that's not players, that's people, and that is the curse of playtesting. Do you want to know how you figure out what is and isn't working for your players? You keep doing things that seem like they should work. And if the players continue to be happy, it's working. And if the players stop being happy, you change. That's it. That's the only solution. But here's the thing. If your players are having fun and everything is fine, then what you're doing is working. That said, trust me when I say, try this instead, because this usually gets a good result. You know, beyond that though, don't sweat it. Just keep running the game you're running. If you're getting an everything's fine, that's basically a 5-star rating, man. Just accept it. Okay. I know nobody likes that answer, but that's the true and real correct answer. What's the name of my childhood pet? My childhood pet's name, which is not used as a security question anywhere because I'm not an idiot, is King Tut. King Tut was a silver tabby that we adopted when I was, I don't remember quite when he adopted us. He showed up in our backyard one day and my dad kept throwing him over the fence and he kept coming back. And then one day he was just ours. My dad relented, you know, we're not going to have a cat. And then we had a cat, but King Tut was my bestest buddy. And King Tut and I had a special relationship, even though he was a family cat, we were very, very close. So his name was King Tut. The name came about because my two younger sisters, they chose the name. And what they said was, he looks like the cat that King Tut had. Now, here's the thing. They were not five, okay? That's the first thing to understand is they were not toddlers saying nonsense. We were teenagers, okay? So I don't know where they got this information. I do know there is absolutely zero historical evidence to suggest that King Tutankhamun had a silver tabby-colored American domestic short-haired cat. But nonetheless, they insisted that he looked like the cat that King Tut had, and therefore we named him King Tut. Do you have satyrs and centaurs in your game? Yes, I have both. It's not fantasy if you don't have satyrs and centaurs. That question, though, is it's a tough one. It's a tough one to answer because the answer itself is not that interesting. Okay? I do not go out of my way to avoid satyrs and centaurs. They are not something I have banned or have said I will never, ever use. They're also not something I go out of my way to include. They are merely something that shows up because they exist in the world. A few years ago, my players were making their way through some frontier territory, and it was all steppe lands, quite away from civilization. And I decided what would make that interesting is if they wandered through some centaur territory, and they did. And that was it. I can't remember when the last time I had a satyr in my game, but they exist, but they're not something I either go out of my way to include or out of my way to avoid. They're in the monster manual. I burped into the microphone. And so they are a thing that I could include. Ice Bear wants to know my top 9 favorite games. I saw that little meme thing going around in the video game channel. I'll sit down and do it. Like, obviously, number 1 is Hollow Knight, the first one, the good one. But after that, like, I would have to think a little bit because I don't think like that. Okay, this is my way of ranking games. I think I've explained this before. I do not put things in order. I do not have a favorite of anything. I do not say, you know, this is my top 3 games, yada, yada, yada. Okay, instead, I will describe a game as, if I ever made a top 5 list, that one would be in my top 5. Okay, now, I have more than 5 top 5 games. Just as I have more, maybe I have fewer, top 10 games or top 20 games or top 50 games. That is just the equivalent of my star rating. It is, if I was ever held at gunpoint and forced to make a hypothetical list of video games and I wanted to be reasonably honest to someone who felt that holding me at gunpoint was the appropriate way to get this list, then I would probably guess that these 7 games would probably be fighting for spots in my top 5. that's how I rate games. So I would struggle with it. I will say some, like, some things that have been formative. The Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past is definitely a top five game. Hollow Knight is the rare exception. Hollow Knight is my favorite game of all time. Number one, top spot. That is the only thing I know. And I don't even remember when that happened, okay? But Hollow Knight has the top spot. It has number one, the lawful good axis on my alignment of best games. After that, it's like, then I'm just listing stuff. Infamous 1 and 2 would take up a spot. Probably Prey, Batman Arkham Asylum. Metroid Prime. But see, even that's difficult because then I start having rules, right? It's like, okay, I can only have one thing from the Metroid series or the Metroid franchise. Which one is it going to be? And that's where I get into trouble because there are now, like, by all rights, I should say Super, but you know what? Super Metroid's kind of janky ass. If you go back and play it now, it's kind of janky ass. Metroid Fusion is nice, but it's not a Metroid game. But it was wonderfully atmospheric and it did things well. Metroid Dread is a terrible Metroid game with absolutely awesome boss fights, and it has the number one best final boss of any Metroid game ever. And so now you see, like, it's going to take me days to just pick nine games. You know, because then I'll keep thinking of other things, like really Prey 2016 should be somewhere on that list because that was an amazing game for so many reasons and this and that and the other thing and, you know, whatever. So I'm not going to try and do that, and I can't do that off the cuff extemporaneously, as the kids say, but I will eventually try to do my little list and click that link. K99, why in your complication table does it have two columns of numbers? Does it? Hold a second. I got to open a file. I got to open a file and look at it and see what the hell is going on. Complication table. Oh, okay. I got it. That is an artifact from me using Fantasy Grounds. Okay, so Fantasy Grounds allows you to, which is one of the virtual tabletop. It is actually my favorite virtual tabletop, but it allows you to create tables so that you can then just click a button to roll on the table and it will tell you the result. But every entry on the table has to be a range of results. So in order to get it to work, I had to enter it as 2-2, 3-3, 4-4, 5-5, 6-6, yada, yada, yada. Okay, that's why there are two numbers. That was a way more boring answer. Okay. Nox, if I had to build a multi-headed hydra, like multi-headed monster like a hydra or something, how would you make it? I would probably make it like the hydra. I mean, I don't know, you got to give me more to go on than hydra, but basically a multi-headed monster is just a monster that can bite multiple times, right? That's it. Unless you can give me a stronger gimmick than that, I just give it multiple bite attacks. You know, what is special about it having multiple heads other than the fact that it has multiple heads? Is one fire and one ice? Because I could do something with that. Am I building like Trinex? You know, or fire, ice, and lightning? Are the heads three different creatures? Do the heads argue with each other? Do they have different personalities? Give me something to go on and I will build something. But if you just say, oh, it's just a monster with multiple heads, then I'm like, well, it's got multiple bite attacks, then moving on. Anyway, fine. I'll try to build Trinex. I can build Trinex. Okay, how far apart should towns be from each other when you build a game map? I'm trying to find a good travel time range. There is no answer, and anyone who tells you there is an answer is lying to you. The answer is to figure out what the hell you're trying to do with your game and your structure instead of just drawing a map because you have some abstract idea that there is a good travel time range. How far apart should the towns be from each other? How much time should the players spend traveling from town to town? How often are they traveling from town to town? Is this something they are doing all of the time? Are they moving from town to town throughout a kingdom? Or are they moving from town to town as the acts of the story change? And that this is like, oh, now we've moved up to the big town. Because then they should be farther away so that the journey is significant. But if moving from town to town is closer or is something that you expect them to do frequently, then the towns need to be closer together. Tell me how you're structuring your game first, and that will tell you how to build the game map. If you're just trying to build an open world sandbox game, then I don't know, roll a D8. That many hexes is how far apart the towns should be. Okay, but if you tell me what are you doing with your game's structure, like how do you envision this game playing out? Are they constantly moving from town to town, or are they only moving from town to town at major transitions in the story? That would be my first question. Is it convenient to move from town to town? Is there a reason to want to move from town to town? Are there resources that they might need at some point that are only available in some towns but not others, so that they have to make a conscious decision to say, oh shit, we need lumber stuff. I don't know why. I can't think. Oh shit. We need stuff that is made of wood that we can only get in Lumbertown. Because of this adventure, we think it would be helpful. So now Lumbertown has to be close enough that they could treat it reasonably as a solution to a problem. Whereas if you don't want them doing that kind of a thing where you want them to have one hub town, then all of the other towns of the same size or larger have to be far enough away that they don't consider moving from town to town to be something they can just do conveniently. K99, if your player, oh, this is just turning into like a Ask Angry Lightning round. You guys got 9 more minutes of this and then I got to call it, but I will try to, this is it. This is Ask Angry Lightning round. Throw questions at me. Knox, do not type out a more detailed design document for the multiple-headed monster. You got your answer. Let someone else have a turn now. I see you typing. You'll have to wait until next month, or just trick me into making it for Arthur. Just ask Arthur to make it.
Did he stop typing? I think I called it. I think he was going to make me make his next monster. He needs a boss fight for next Sunday. I don't know what to do with my pirate game. I promised them a multi-headed sea tyrant, and now I don't know what to do. Angry.
Tell Arthur to email me and I'll make it for him. And then he'll send it to you. I don't know. Do you want to do... That would be a fun night, right? Like one of those focus things would be a design lab. Like, let's take it start to finish and just make a monster. That would be good tie-in content for FCR 2024. Ooh. Ooh. You know what? As a reward for that, Knox, tell me what you need your monster to do, and I will take extra time and do it. Go ahead and type your little thingy. And then you get to be the last question, but I'm going to ask K99's question. Don't make it too complicated or you're going to be disappointed in the answer. Okay, K99, if your players get a big group of NPCs on their side in a fight, do you roll for all of them or do you handle it some other way? Yes. All right, so here's my first question. What do we call a big group of NPCs? As a general rule, it is very rare for my players to be leading more than their own number of NPCs around. Okay, so if you're talking a big group, we're like talking 4 people. Okay. Once we go beyond that, I definitely find some other way to resolve the situation other than rolling for everything. However, I am also smart enough to make very, very, very simple NPC goons. I have learned recently, by the way, that the word goon no longer means what it means. I have learned recently that goon is a very different word than it used to be. When I grew up, Bebop and Rocksteady were goons. Now, people who pay for accounts on OnlyFans are goons. I'm sorry. Okay, mooks. We're going to use mooks. If my players do end up with a whole big group of mooks, they're the sort of things that I can very much resolve quickly. And so what I will do, if I do have a big group of mooks, say my players have like 10 conscripts on my back end, they all have basically the same number of month of they have the same stats. I just got totally confused because Norman typed a question and it broke my brain. All right. So at that point, if they have like a bunch of conscripts, they're all going to be basically identical and I'm going to stat them up the same way I would stat up giant rats. Okay. So at that point, yeah, I can roll them. And what I can do is I move them all into position on the same turn so that all the little guys move to where they're going to go. And then I take a big fistful of dice, however many there are, I roll that many D20s and then I just quick resolve the attacks and then I quick resolve the damage. And then that's it. And then if I need to go beyond that, there is a point where I just kind of roll a single die and assume a hit kills them. And if they hit, I do have a secret system for this. Okay. See, this is the problem. These things are so hard to answer because over the many, many years that I have been doing this shit, I've run into these problems and then I've just come up with very, very simple systematic solutions that let me fake it. And then they just become my reflex. So for example, in my head, if I have a situation where I need to have a whole bunch of attacks on a creature that don't come from the players, then one of the things I have is the concept of a hit, okay? Where I will just, on the monster's stat block, I will track the number of hits they have taken. Not the amount of hit points, but just the number of hits. Every time they get hit, tick mark, tick mark, tick mark, tick mark. Then the first time a player comes and interacts with them, I will take those tick marks and multiply them by 5 to determine how many hit points the monster has actually lost, or 4 or 6. It depends on my mood. Or whatever my sense of what the average damage was. So that when it gets to that point where I'm running a voluminous combat, a high volume fight, then I'm only tracking hits. I'm not actually tracking damage. And then I'm just, when I do have to finally adjust, you know. And meanwhile, the main reason I use 5 is because I can look at a monster and look at their hit points and say when they have taken about, you know, I can divide their hit points or whatever by 5. So that's it. What do? I make up some answer. Okay, I make up some answer to keep the game rolling. Because if the players aren't involved, if it's just me rolling my attacks against my enemies, then I can do whatever the hell I want. Okay? And I keep it fair because I know what fair is. So it's not like me giving the players the win or anything like that. It is me actually evaluating. Because you know what? I can look at it and make a judgment call. And here's the thing. If I have 20 conscripts, the players have led the 20 bumbling conscripts of Doodleburg out into battle against the orcs. And the conscripts, they have like a +4 to attack and the orcs all have 15 armor class, then I know that on any given round, how many conscripts did I say? Did I say 10? I know four of those guys are going to land a hit. So I just assign hits to 4 random orcs. 1, 2, 3, 4. Done. Why? Because they're going to hit 50% of the time or 40% of the time. I can do that math. Okay, so I know, it's not me like doing things by fiat, but it is also me realizing there's a certain point where you don't need the dice to come up with the answer. You can just kind of figure out the answer. You should be able to look at a modifier and say, that's about 50%. That's about 75%. That's about 25%, whatever. And then if you're dealing with that many monsters, and like if the conscripts do as much damage, like if the players lead conscripts against giant rats and the giant rats have just about as many hit points or within about that ballpark as the conscripts do damage, then every turn, four of the conscripts out of the 10 that are there kill four of the giant rats. It doesn't need to be harder than that. Anyway, there's a certain point where you fake it. That's it. Just a certain point where you fake it. How many monsters do you fake it at? I don't know. If you start asking me for hard and fast rules, you're not going to like my answer because my answer is just going to be swears because I don't have hard and fast rules. I just look at it and say, well, this is going to suck if I try to do this by die roll. So I'm going to clatter some dice behind the screen so the players think I'm doing dice rolls. And then I'm just going to remove, oh, they had four hits. Bam, 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 bam. Whatever. You know, or if you have 10 conscripts and they, you know, whatever, how many of them land a hit, roll a D10. Okay, all 10 hit this round. What a good round for the conscripts. Who cares? I don't know. Just make it happen, Captain. Do you want a better answer? Do you need assist? Like, do you need a mass combat system? Because mass combat is bigger. Like, mass combat is an army system. Okay. This is just a system of, shit, I've got a little bit too many monsters on the battlefield and NPCs on the battlefield than I can handle. And I need to get through this fight without it bogging down and being a disaster. And it is my job to make sure that my turns take no longer than one of the player's turns, and it should be the fastest player. My turns should be as fast as the player who is only playing the fighter and only ever attacks. That's how fast my turns should be as a game master. That is what you're aiming for. That is the number one thing you're aiming for. So whatever you're doing, and I mean all the monsters, you should be able to resolve that quick. That's okay. That's taking you to an extreme. That is not quite true. The player should get most of the playtime in the combat. Okay? So you got to make that happen. Do what you got to do, man. Just don't tell the players what you're doing. Oh, and whatever you're doing, do it fair. Don't just pull shit out of your ass. Have a logic to it. Do one of my logics. I just offered like three or four different ways to look at the problem, didn't I? Pick one of those and use it because I'm awesome. Stu, these are the last two questions, then I'm done. Because Nox doesn't want me to build a monster for him now. I guess I'm too good, or Nox is too good for my monsters. Okay. But let's build a monster design lab would sound fun, wouldn't it? That could be one of our monthly get-togethers that isn't this crap. Okay. Hey, okay, neat. Actually, if you're listening to this and you need something to comment about, would you like a whiteboard video, let's build a monster from a bizarre concept kind of a thing? Okay, cool. You know, leave a comment. Also leave. No. I'm not going to try and come up with a question. Oh, I really did want to talk about languages too. We had such a thing about languages in Club Slapdash, and there is a bigger conversation to be had about languages with the rest of the world. All right. What different name for FCR do you have for the 2024 edition article? I don't know. I'll know it when I see it. I have no idea. But it will have a different name. FCR was a terrible name. Probably it'll be something like Angry's Awesome Monster Building System because Wizards of the Coast was too cheap and stupid to give you one themselves. Something. Awesome. Angry. Mine. Like and subscribe. That'll probably be the name. Somewhere in there is the name. All the components are in there. Yeah, I want to talk about languages too. Man, wasn't that a thing? That was a thing. And no, it's not Slapdash Confidential. Because I did not realize how fucked up everybody's view of languages is in D&D. So yeah, no, like, yeah, you're all wrong. You're all stupid about language. What's wrong with all you people? You don't know how common works. It's not a language. Why don't your humans speak languages? Your humans are basically non-lingual. Do you realize that? Do you realize what you have done? You have made your humans non-lingual. Okay. Anyway. Oh, so people wanted to ask questions about that? Well, I guess we'll have to save it for next month, huh? I guess it... Ba-dum-ts. Nico, with the joke of the night. I guess it's not common knowledge. Don't let Alyssa hear you talking like that. Send that... here's what you do. What you need to do is figure out the setup to that joke, put it on a Star Trek, and send it to O-Dog. Then he'll appreciate it. Okay. Thank you for that, Nico. We all needed that. Laugh is too strong a word, but we all needed that slight exhale of the nose. Because that's what you got. You got one of those nose exhales. You got to... Right? Anyway. I lost a question. There was one last question that I was going to try and tag. Norman is happy to leave it until next month. Don't do that. If you say that, I will. Happy to leave it till next month. Just demand your answer. Especially because I gave you such a shitty answer up above. Like, how do I know I'm doing right by my players? You don't. Do it anyway. Suck it up. Goodbye. Who are you to demand things, Norman? I demand my answer. Okay. Anyway. You just fell victim to one of the classic blunders. Okay. Are you still playing with Fighting Spirit? In like D&D? No. No, I wasn't even playing with Fighting Spirit in D&D when I said I was playing with Fighting Spirit in D&D. It works fine. It's a good solution for some people. Is it basically by a different name? Like, I don't call it Fighting Spirit in Slapdash. But Slapdash has that same sort of two-tier damage system where, you know, normal damage can't kill you, but you don't want to take the other kind of damage because it can kill you fast, that kind of a thing. But no, I'm not. I don't. No. No. I don't, like, I hate to say this. I don't use most of my own hacks. As bizarre as that sounds, I play with them to test them out. I play with them to experiment with them. But I also have written over the years way too many of these damned hacks. And also, I don't know how to say this in a way that isn't hurting the feelings of people in my community. I am much more easygoing about game mechanics than most people. Like, I can identify the problems with D&D 2024, 2014, 4th edition, 3.5, 2nd edition. Well, once we go past 2000, you know, like the problems with D&D are like pretty much all of it. But anyway, once we go back, by the way, not forward, modern D&D is better than old D&D. And I say that as someone who grew up playing old D&D, but at the time we called it just D&D. Anyway, I can identify the problems with D&D and where the pinch points are and everything else. And I know this doesn't work and I know this is bullshit and whatever. None of it is really enough of a sticking point for me to really have to fix it to get a good game out of. I know that's not necessarily the common attitude. I know that lots of people do get hung up on these things and then they need to change it. And, you know, I mostly play the game as written when I run it. The only hack I really consistently use of my own every time I run a game, at least every time I run a fantasy adventure game at this point, is the tension pool and the complication system. That one finds its way into my games all the time. Do I make modifications for specific campaigns? Yeah, I do hack my game. But are there any specific hacks I've written about that are just part of my standard house rules document? Nah, it ain't like that. It's more sort of I just start running the game as is with tension dice. And then it's like, okay, this thing is annoying me. Can I fix this thing? And what's the lightest, easiest way I can fix this thing? Because mostly I don't care. Mostly the system's fine. Like, this is the thing. D&D 2024 is fine. D&D 2014 is fine. D&D 3.5 is great, except for all the parts that are terrible. Fourth edition is terrible, but I still loved it while I was running it. And I still miss it occasionally. It's all fine. Okay, you can get worked up over it and the mechanics, and I can't believe they did this, and players feel too powerful, and this and that, and the other thing. And, like, yeah, there's certain things I don't do. Like, do I go into double-digit levels? Not really very much anymore. That's just asking for trouble. So anytime anybody says, you know, I have a problem and I need your help, and I'm like, okay, lay it on me. And they say, well, I'm running a high-level campaign in D&D, and I'm like, well, I found your problem. Okay? D&D stops at 12. That's where it stops working. It breaks. But D&D is also not unique in that respect. And fifth edition is not unique in that respect. Every edition of D&D breaks at a certain level. And it's not nearly as high as it should be. Okay. Yeah. D&D breaks at 12. Do not run anything higher than that. Beyond that, if there's a spell that's causing me a problem or a character ability or whatever, I'll remove it. I will tell a player, honestly, this ability is causing me a problem. If the player is kind of a pain about it, I'll be like, I'll rewrite the ability or I'll give you this other super cool ability instead. You know, if I suspect the player is going to be a problem about it in advance because they're usually a problem about such things, I might rewrite the ability in advance and say, hey, I came up with a better ability to replace your wanderer, you know, wanderers eat for free in the wilderness power. One that lets you actually be a badass hunter. And, you know, you're not guaranteed to always have food anymore, but now you actually get to play a badass hunter and go out badass hunting. Isn't that cool? I thought you would appreciate that more because you're good at resource management. You usually make these decisions very well. You know, I blow smoke up the player's ass. Right? It's like, oh, you know, I made this special for you because, you know, this is, I know, like, you like to play like a real man. So I know you kind of chaps your ass that you just get to eat for free in the wilderness and you'd much rather be making decisions about how you hunt. So I made you this special ability that fixes the problem much better. You know, whatever. You do whatever you have to do. That's game mastering. You do whatever you have to do. But I don't even do that much that often. Do I agree objectively there are broken abilities on the characters, especially in 2024? Yeah. Do they break anything enough that it's like it's going to ruin my game? No. No, I can work around just about anything. Oh, no. We don't have to worry about food in the wilderness. Well, gee, golly, gosh, I guess I'm still going to make you mark off rations every day. But fine. You know, it's just. That's just not a thing. Okay. I'll live. Quicksand still exists. You know? I still have centaurs to trample you with. So, yeah. I don't sweat it. Anyway. So, no, I don't. I forgot what I think the question was, do you still use Fighting Spirit? Nah. Now, I stopped using Fighting Spirit years ago. Anything I wrote more than 6 months ago, I'm not using it anymore. Not because it's bad. It's all great. But, you know, I just don't care enough. I'm happy running a crappy game. My players don't deserve better. Oh, and I see I have some of my players in the audience tonight. Hi, guys. Anyway. Nah, I'm kidding. Anyway, that's it. That's my sign off. I want to thank everybody again who reached out to me in my month of terrible distress. It really did mean a lot. I want to thank everybody who is supporting me, especially for supporting me financially right now. That matters a lot. And I appreciate We have a bunch of generous new supporters who have just joined the community. I said hello to Scrumper earlier, who joined the community, I think, today, and immediately jumped in and started a fight about my language rules and, like, British football or some bullshit like that. So, yeah, welcome to the community, Scrumpy, whose name means, like, rotten apples, by the way. It's like, it's British for rotten apples. So, yeah. Thanks, Scrumpy. And also there were a couple other new folks. We had Scrumper come in. We had Andrew and Nico both joined in the last week. Welcome to both of you. I really appreciate that. I appreciate the financial support. It's very important. But I also just appreciate the general well wishes and the reaching out to me. I appreciate the readership. I appreciate chats and discussions and shop talk. You know, come hang out in the Discord, start a random topic. And, you know, if no one else is talking it to death, I'll eventually notice it and talk it to death. But otherwise, I'm just really grateful that you guys are sticking it out with me. And I hope that we have a good month of stabilization. And then we go on to really, 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 really great stuff. I thank you all for believing in me. That's really the most important thing, because one of the things that this season of my life has taken from me that I regret is my ability to believe in myself. And so I appreciate that there is a huge and awesome community of people who very vocally believe in me until I remember how to believe in myself. So thank you.